Good morning and welcome to the worship service of Central Congregational Church in Attleboro Falls on this fourth Sunday of Easter. We're joined today by the chairperson of our Board of Deacons, Wayne Netney, our musical director, Dave Valerio. Our youth pastor, Glenn, is on vacation this week. So Wayne, would you please call us to worship?
Certainly. Sing praise to our Easter God, who changed sadness into joy, who took the tears of night and dried them in the morning light, who rolled away the stone of despair and placed hope forever in the air, who visits us beside our seashore, teaching us always to love and adore. Come, let us worship the risen Christ.
Holy God, we praise your name. Lord of all, we bow before thee. All on earth thy scepter claim, all in heaven above adore thee. Infinite thy vast domain, everlasting is thy.
God of all grace, we have come here today, not by our own power, but you have drawn us into your mercy and truth. You have sought us in every moment of our lives, that we may be with you through eternity. Now let us enjoy a glimpse of that blessed day in which you will be glorified in all the worlds. Lord, we long to see your face smiling upon us in the face of our Savior, Jesus Christ, who taught us to pray, saying, Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen.
Good morning, everyone. I think this is the Sunday school program time. As Reverend Carol mentioned, Pastor Glenn is on vacation today, so we won't be hearing from him, but I am going to ask Ms. Heather to talk a little bit about what the elementary school class K through five had been learning about in April. And then I do have a short video to show, and then Mr. Dave has prepared a song for today. So I will turn it over to Heather.
Thank you. The tweens pretty much, I think as you noticed, do the same Bible stories that we do. So I don't know exactly how he explains it, but for the elementary kids, the theme for the month was reconnecting or building the bridge. And the all around theme for this month was peace, proving you care more about each other than winning an argument. And when Jesus died on the cross, he made peace between us and God, and we can reflect the character of Christ by caring enough to make peace. So when we got together the first week after Easter, the bottom line was we can make peace with others and that we should treat others the way that we want to be treated. And the Bible story was from the Colossians. And to explain it, they talked about students working on a group project and how it can be difficult to agree when you have so many different points of view. And we were reminded that we are part of the same team and should think about what's best for others instead of only what's best for us. And when I was thinking about it, it reminded me about how we wear masks. And basically, we wear a mask not only for us, but we wear a mask to help others as well. And obviously, everybody has a different opinion on that. And but basically, the bottom line is we're doing something for someone else, and we're not just thinking about ourselves. For our second week, the bottom line was you can show you care about others by walking away from a fight. And this week, the Bible story was from Genesis, and it was a story of Isaac, who was blessed by God. He settled in a land where God had told him, and each place he went, Isaac's servants dug a well, and each time the people where he was, it was the Philistines, they said they were going to take the well for themselves, and Isaac to just move along. And this happened three times. And Isaac's servants could have fought with the men, but Isaac said that there was plenty of land and he moved on. Eventually, they made peace with each other. And through the story, we're reminded that our relationships with others are more important than winning an argument. The last week, the bottom line was you can show you care about others by being part of the solution. The Bible story was from 1 Samuel. And it's a story of David and his men in the desert of Paran near a wealthy landowner named Nabal. David's men helped keep Nabal's shepherds safe. And then one day, David asked Nabal if he would give them some food for help keep his shepherds safe. And Nabal wasn't a very kind man, and he flatly refused and said no. And then when David heard this, he became angry, and he took about 400 of his men and headed for a fight with Nabal. One of Nabal's servants told Abigail, which was Nabal's wife, what he had done. And she realized that this was not going to be a good situation. And then she quickly got together the food that had been requested and sent it toward David. Abigail apologized for her husband's actions, and David accepted Abigail's gift. And Abigail, as you can see, was part of the solution. We were also reminded that they are not always do we need to walk away from something. It's usually in our best interest to do so. But when we're in those situations, sometimes we need to get the help of a teacher or possibly an adult to help us make those decisions. But that it's good to be part of the solution. And we were reminded not necessarily do our age students are in the social media, but unfortunately, a lot of us do know about social media and how bad it can be. But we're reminded that sometimes it's not a good idea to get involved and to add to the negativity that goes around, that sometimes when someone says something, the best thing is to not add to it. So this was, I think, probably for me, one of the most, not difficult, but one of a little bit more challenging as far as how to explain it to the kids. But obviously with the Bible stories that we had and the videos that you show, it does definitely does make it easier.
Thank you, Heather.
Can I get a little peace and quiet in here? I gotta be honest. It's easy to think about peace as a bubble. Ignoring the world so that you can chill out and get a little you time. Or maybe you think of peace as a simple agreement. You do your thing, I do mine. Then we don't have to worry about each other's problems or the ways we're different from each other. Or you might see peace as a big, grand thing. General, this treaty officially ends all wars. But true peace doesn't look like any of that. True peace is messy. It takes hard work and creativity. It says, how can I listen to you first before I speak? It says, how can I learn what it's like to walk in your shoes before I try to fix it? How can we get creative to find a way through? See, when you do the hard work of making peace, others can see God at work in you. That's why making peace is an amazing way to worship God with your life. Because worship, it's about more than just singing loud. It's all about living loud.
Great. And hi, everybody. Good morning. So I wrote a song for the kids, and it's also got lessons for the adults in it, too. So it's for everybody, but it's about peace. And I took the same approach. I thought there's lots of different kinds of peace and how we find peace in ourselves, in our families, in school, in with God, in our prayers. And I decided the way I started writing this song was I just looked up the definition of peace, and I thought of all the different ways that peace is used. So that's how I wrote the song. It's a song about peace. It's pretty self-explanatory. And I always try to write a different kind of flavor for songs. So today's flavor is a rap tune. So I hope you enjoy this. It's a little rap tune called Peace.
Is a word. Peace is a word that means there is no conflict, no war. An expression of love that everything's cool, no hate, no fighting, no need to be rude. Calmness and order and tranquility, serenity, happiness and harmony.
Peace be with you in everything you do. Jesus said, my peace I give to you.
In you. Be at peace and you will see you're free of worry and anxiety. Peace at home is the golden rule. Keep peace with your friends and peace at school. Try to keep the peace as best you can. If you're the peacemaker, then you the man.
Peace be with you in everything you do. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Don't give in to hatred or the fight. Seek your peace and be the light. Seek your peace and be the light.
Let's all go to church. Here's a little fact that you might find odd. If you're searching for peace, just talk to God. Something in your life might be a mess, but a prayer to God can bring you peacefulness. Hostility, hatred, and all your frustration, the worry, the stress, and your sense of desperation. All of that bad stuff soon will cease, because when you find God, you will find peace.
Peace be with you in everything you do. Jesus said, my peace I give to you. Don't give in to hatred or the fight. Seek your peace and be the light. Seek your peace and be the light.
Seek your peace and be the light. Take it home now. Peace. Seek peace. Be at peace. Peace for you. Peace for me.
World peace.
Have peace of mind all the time.
Live in peace.
Pray for peace. Peace, not war. Peace is the answer.
Peace is the way.
Keep the peace. He's the Prince of Peace. Begins with a smile. Make peace with yourself.
Peace.
Live in peace.
Peace to you. Peace for me.
The power of peace. Give peace a chance.
Give me a piece of that peace. Give me a piece of that peace.
Walk in peace with your brother.
Give me a piece of that peace.
Walk in peace with your sister too.
Thank you, Sherilyn and Miss Heather and Mr. Dave, so much for that. We really appreciate it. And I believe it's time for our mission moment now, which will be done by Peggy Robinson.
Peggy, you are muted. Yep.
Is that better?
That is better.
Okay, sorry about that. So I don't know how I can follow that wonderful song, but I'll try. So good morning, everyone. Our mission for April has been RIP Medical Debt. Our contributions to this nonprofit organization are multiplied 10 times as they are used by RIP to purchase medical debt of eligible people. This is the last week that we're going to be collecting contributions for this very worthy mission project. The National UCC has reconfirmed their commitment to support our efforts. So together with other UCC churches in Massachusetts, we'll achieve the minimum, hopefully, we'll achieve the minimum amount of $15,000 to help people in Massachusetts. Each person who benefits from the RIP medical debt forgiveness will be notified by mail, and our letter, our church name, will appear in the letter that they receive as a contributor. Please donate whatever you can to this worthy cause, and remember to write RIP Medical in the memo part of your check. And as always, continue to support Lenore's Pantry, and the aluminum tab collection, which benefits Shriners Hospital. These are our year-round mission projects. For more information on the RIP medical debt program, you can look at the triad. And thanks for everyone for giving a little. If everyone gives a little, we can accomplish a lot.
Thank you, Peggy. This is the time we make some announcements. I'd like to announce, first of all, that Bill Bentley is walking for hunger through Project Bread. That's a 20-mile walk. It's going to be virtual. He told me, however, that he will not accept any donations unless he actually walks the 20 miles. And last year he found, I guess it was a 5-mile route, because he said he walked by my house 4 times to do his obligation. So if you would like to support Bill, we urge you to do so. The mission committee is already supporting him in his effort. But if you individually would like to do that, there's 2 ways. You can go on to projectbread.org and look for the Walk for Hunger and find his name. It's under William John Bentley, I believe, and make a donation that way. Or you can certainly send a check to the church and clearly mark it again on the memo line with Hunger Walk Bill Bentley, or just his name will be enough. May 7th is the next family feast. It's going to be pulled pork sandwich with coleslaw. Order should be in by May 4th. Are there any other announcements? If you have any, please feel free to unmute yourselves and make them. Hearing no one, then Mr. Dave, would you please tell us about the hymn we're going to sing next?
Yes. So our opening hymn was Holy God, We Praise Thy Name. And that was our opening, and that's actually in our hymnals that we sing. This next one is in our hymnal. It's number 88, if you have a hymnal at home. It's 3 verses, and it is Maker in Whom We Live. You can find it in the chat section. If you go down to the chat button, push that. Sherilyn has put up the lyrics, and it's 3 verses. Let's all sing together, Maker in Whom We Live.
Thank you for that, Mr. Dave. This is the time for our celebrations. I want to thank everyone who showed up yesterday to clean around on the church grounds. I see some of the overgrown bushes have been taken down, and many, many thanks. Do any of you have a celebration you'd like to lift up?
I got accepted to Tri-County High School.
Oh, Aunt Hunter, great. Good for you. Excellent.
Heather and Shane got their first COVID shots.
Yay. That's always good news. Thank you, Ben.
Dave and I are driving to New York on Wednesday. We're going to finally be able to inter his father at the cemetery and have a celebration of his life with all eight of his children. And all four of my children are also going to be able to attend. So I'm really looking forward to that.
Oh, that's great, Jan. Anyone else? Hearing no other celebrations, then we turn to our concerns as a church family, and the list seems to grow. But this morning, we want to remember that we're praying for Loretta, for Jennifer, for Sue Winship, for Sandy's grandson, Anthony, for Julie Goss's brother-in-law, Bert, for Ed Dyer and his family members. Sue LaFortune contacted me and says that she really wants prayers because she's having a very tough time getting over her spinal surgery. We pray for Marie, for Tyson Ball's sister Lee, for Jane and her family, Brigida, Len, who is at home and in hospice, and we pray for Nancy as well, who is doing much of the care. We pray for Bob Avoyan's sister Marge, for Corinne, for AJ from the Bishop Feehan Hockey Club, the player who was paralyzed in one of the practices, I think it was, or was it a game? I'm not sure. We're asking for prayers for Tyler and for Caitlin. And those who are in the nursing homes and assisted living, we pray for Jackie Glass, for Carolyn Farrell, and for Doris Brunel. And of course, we continue to pray for all the people who are suffering from COVID-19 and all of our healthcare workers. We pray for those who suffer from addictions, for the well-being of our nation, and we pray for our communities as this pandemic continues. So please join with me in prayer for all who are in special need of God's grace this morning. Let us pray. God of abundant life, we sing your praises for the gift of your grace in the person of Jesus Christ. Help through all our days to trust in the Good Shepherd's care. We would declare our faith even though fear and pain often intrude upon our lives, and we believe that wonders still do await us. For those who are ill or in pain, we ask your presence to heal and encourage those whose names we have mentioned today, as well as any others we hold in our thoughts and call out their names now in your presence during this time of silence. God of community, help us to share one another's burdens. Draw your straying flock back and help us to learn from your word and the teachings of Jesus and his apostles to discern your truth for our church, our community, our nation, and the world. In the life and death and resurrection of Jesus Christ, you reveal your grace, your forgiveness, and your love. These gifts are for all, the greatest and the least. Help us to be the church. Help us to search earnestly for you as we grow in your care. We dare ask these things only in the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord and Savior. Amen.
God will take care of you through every day or all the way.
Last Sunday, we heard the story of Jesus meeting his disciples on the beach as they were fishing. It was one of the resurrection appearances of Jesus to his disciples. Peter is singled out to be the leader of the fledgling church with the admonition to Peter to take his place as a shepherd of this little church. Previously, Jesus had described his role as the good shepherd in these words from the Gospel of John. We'll be reading from John chapter 10, verses 11 through 18. Please hear these words. I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. He who is a hireling and not a shepherd, whose own the sheep are not, sees the wolf coming and leaves the sheep and flees. And the wolf snatches them and scatters them. He flees because he is a hireling and cares nothing for the sheep. I am the good shepherd. I know my own, and my own know me. As the Father knows me, and I know the Father. And I lay down my life for the sheep. And I have other sheep that are not of this fold. I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice. So there shall be one flock, one shepherd. For this reason the Father loves me, because I lay down my life, that I may take it again. No one takes it from me, but I lay it down of my own accord. I have power to lay it down, and I have power to take it again. This charge I have received from my Father. May God help us in our understanding of these words.
Thank you, Wayne. A father was watching the news and decided to share what he had been hearing, and so he muted his TV. And what they were saying was, it was a claim that children today suffer from a lack of attention, which often cause low educational achievements at school. Furthermore, the article said that children were lazy, have little concentration, and barely possess any listening skills at all. When he was finished, the father asked, "Well, son, what do you think about that?" And the boy half-heartedly lifted his head and said, "What was that again, Dad?" Sometimes we just don't listen, do we? I don't think our children are lazy, to say the least. But sometimes all of us are guilty of not listening. Children do that with their parents. Parents do it with their children. Sometimes we do that to God and Jesus as well. Sometimes we get so absorbed in what we're doing, what we're thinking with ourselves, that we just aren't listening for God's voice or the voice of the Good Shepherd. It's kind of like there's a guy in a TV commercial and he's sitting watching television, eating popcorn. His very attractive wife walks in and says, "Honey, does this dress make me look fat?" And without even blinking, without even looking up, he says, "You betcha." Of course, that was probably the wrong answer to that question. And that guy is probably in some trouble because he just wasn't listening to what his wife said. He recognized his wife's voice, but he just didn't listen to what she was saying. This fourth Sunday of Easter is also known as Shepherd Sunday. If we were not gathered in this technology that cannot yet overcome the lag time of sound that depends on all kinds of internet services, we would no doubt have been doing a unison reading of the 23rd Psalm. The Lord is my shepherd. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. The words are so familiar that we sometimes don't really listen to them or actually hear them. Last Sunday, we heard Jesus give a command to Simon Peter. And very simply, he said three times to Peter, "Feed my sheep." In a lot of churches today, preachers will be talking about sheep and shepherds, all pointing to Jesus as the good shepherd. Or they'll be talking about Psalm 23, the shepherd's psalm. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I can't think of a time that I didn't know those words. I know it's not done in these days, but when I was in elementary school 100 years ago, we said those words every single day in public school as a part of opening exercises. Even if you know no other scripture by heart or can't find a verse when you need it, this one usually floats to the surface. I remember a picture in my old Sunday school. On the wall, there was a shepherd cradling a lamb in his arms. That was the good shepherd. Did you know that in our sanctuary, we have that same fresco on the wall in the sanctuary right up front, but it was painted over and replaced with what we call our docile cloth, that blue cloth that is behind the hanging cross. And the shepherd is Jesus in both of those pictures. The 23rd Psalm is a psalm we still teach our children in Sunday school. It's the psalm of children expressing a childlike trust in God's ability to protect us. It's the words that I am most often asked to say for people who are critically ill in the hospital. It's the psalm that is almost always requested for a funeral. When I was a child, I confess I was puzzled by those opening words. "The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want." I didn't see the comma in those days. If the Lord is my shepherd, why do I not want him? But I learned as I grew up that the words meant that the shepherd will see to all my wants. That is, the Lord is my shepherd, I shall want for nothing. He makes me lie down in green pastures. He leads me beside still waters. That's restful and reassuring. Sheep won't drink from dangerous, fast-flowing rivers. This shepherd finds just the right place for the sheep out of danger, us to rest and be restored. He leads me in paths of righteousness for his name's sake, even though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death. Even close to death, Jesus is shepherding us, who, according to John, calls us by name. I fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me, and I shall dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Whenever in this life we have been in difficult circumstances, when we are feeling hopeless, when we wander without direction or meaning, there is always the 23rd Psalm to point out the paths of righteousness for his name's sake. But there's another thing about the shepherd. The shepherd has to lead the sheep. Sheep cannot be driven. They just cannot be. But the sheep get to know the shepherd's voice, and wherever the shepherd is and calling out to the sheep, they just follow him. I saw a wonderful example of that when I was in the Holy Land. I watched a shepherd bring a bunch of sheep right across the road in front of our bus. And the last couple of stragglers just all of a sudden lifted their head, I guess because they heard the shepherd's voice, and they went running across the street as well. Jesus in the Gospel of John, what Wayne just read to you, says, I am the good shepherd. The good shepherd lays down his life for the sheep. Jesus told of a shepherd with 100 sheep and one was lost. He leaves the other 99 in safety and he sets out to find the lost one. There is no time limit to Christ's pursuit of us. We may wander down crooked paths. We may get lost in raging floods, but Jesus is always there pursuing us even into the valley of the shadow of death. He reaches out and plucks us from the abyss and says, gotcha. There was a very mean old man. He was resentful. He was bitter. And most people knew that his bitterness was justified. His beloved wife had died giving birth to their only child. The child died shortly after of complications. He never went to church after that. He never had anything to do with any other person. In his late 60s, they carried him out of his house to the hospital to die. Of course, no one visited him. There were no flowers, there were no cards. But there was a student nurse who hadn't yet learned about not becoming involved with her patients, and she befriended him. At first, he rebuffed her, told her to leave him alone, but soon he became so weak that he couldn't resist her. So she tucked him in one night, and she kissed him on the forehead. No doubt, that was the first human contact he had had in 40 years. And he said, God bless you. And as he slipped away into the valley of death, she could have sworn she heard a voice say, gotcha. Jesus said, I have other sheep that are not of this fold, and I must bring them also, and they will heed my voice, so that there shall be one flock and one shepherd. So you and I are the sheep who are being pursued by the goodness and mercy promised to us by Jesus Christ. May we never turn our backs on that good shepherd. Amen. Thank you.
May the Lord bless you and keep you. May the Lord make his face to shine upon you and be gracious to you. May the Lord lift up his countenance upon you and give you peace. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen.
Thank you for being at worship with us today. And if you'd like to stay around and chat for a while, we welcome you to do so. Feel free to unmute yourselves.